Okay, so we're recording now. Well, first of all, thank you so much for being here. Like I had mentioned just now, the point of this is it's an oral history project interview. So yeah, just know that there's no. Like there's no requirement for us to fill. I have a series of questions that are our general plan, but it's not. We don't have to touch all those points. It's basically the idea is that we can go wherever direction the interview leads us to. So yeah, if you feel like you don't need to, like you don't want to reply to any of the questions I'm gonna ask, just let me know. It's completely fine. And well, the expected length of the interview is around 30 to 40 minutes. And yeah, just let me know if you ever need a break or anything like that. Okay?
Perfect.
Okay. So to start, could you give us like generals? What's your name? How old are you?
Okay. My name is Alexandra Sofia Erazo Ramos. I am currently 23 years old, and I am from Lajas, Puerto Rico. I recently graduated from the University of Puerto Rico of Mayagüez of biology, and right now I've been working.
Okay. What are your pronouns, just for the record?
And my pronouns are she, her.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for all of that. Okay. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Before we continue, could I ask, what are you working in?
Oh yeah, I'm working with my father. He has a company where he like offers some services to local restaurants and basically just like better themselves and have a better opportunity in the market.
Okay, that's great. What did you graduate from in the university?
Biology.
Okay, great to know. Okay, so just to start the more anecdotal part, can you tell us a little bit about El CUA, the Center for University Access, and what your experience has been with working there?
Okay, should I start like how I got in and
If
then?
you want, you can start. Well, it's really up to you. I guess it would be a little bit easier if you start explaining what the project is and then being like, I got there through X or Y means.
Okay, so the QA is a project for underrepresented and poor communities in the town of Mayagüez, and they offer services for high school and middle school students to be order in order to achieve a higher probability in being able to enter any university, not just only the UPR system. And basically, they offer services of tutoring, which is where I excel more. They also had a camp, and they also give mentoring not only for the entrance exams of the university, also in their like what to do when they finish high school.
Okay, thanks for letting us know that. And how was your experience? Like, how did you get in there? How did you first start working at the club?
Okay, I started working in Liqua when randomly my mentor of investigation, la doctora Tania López Marrero, she contacted me. I was in Walgreens. She contacted me and she said, "I need to talk to you right now. I have an opportunity for you and I would like to know if you're interested. But you have to tell me like right now." And I'm like, "Okay, sure. Tell me more what it's about." She gives me some links. pertaining what it is to be an Aliqua, which was the Facebook link. And I said, okay, yeah, I'm interested. And she immediately called Jocelyn, La Doctora Jocelyn. And Jocelyn, I literally had my interview with her the same day. And I talked to her before that, and I was literally in McDonald's. So fast, it was like, damn, bam, 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 bam. So that's how I knew about it. And since then, I've absolutely loved my experience in the Qua. It has made me learn not only from being part of that demographic, but it's made me be more aware in how, yes, the disparities are actually very obvious. The thing is, when you're the minority, sometimes you just brush it off and be like, okay, that's normal for us. But it's not, because when you start actually seeing that we don't have the same opportunities as others, that's when you actually like open your eyes and you're like, oh wow, there's actually is a disadvantage in what we do. So Qua has really opened my eyes to that, and now I try to advocate in social justice for underrepresented communities.
Okay, that's amazing. Is there any particular moment where you think it kind of clicked in your brain that, oh my, the disparity is very noticeable? Like, is there any moment where you feel like it became evident, specifically evident, while working at the Qua or whenever?
When Jocelyn and Sandra did the presentation about, where they basically showed the statistics of Mayagüez and the community, I did not notice that it was so drastic, that such a high percentage of kids was in that like block of minority, you know, which is a lot of people. And not also that, it also made me check out then my hometown, which is La Paz, and it's basically the same thing. So it made me notice that it's not everybody's actually in the same boat. But as where I'm from, it's like everybody's in the same boat, but I think it's common, which is really actually not.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. So you'd mentioned before about working as a tutor in Aliqua. Is there any, what other roles did you perform in Aliqua during your time working there?
Okay, in Aliqua, I've worked like as a tutor. I also worked giving some mentorship and what to do after college. I've also worked as being the person who's doing the inventory for the snacks. And I also was the person who was in charge of any caterings that had to happen. And I know I was also like in charge of making sure that everything was going to plan when Dr. Jocelyn or Sandra wasn't like there.
Okay. Do you feel like your experience of having been a part of the target demographic of the Qua at some point made you, I don't know, made you take particular care in some of these tasks, or made you take a different approach when giving mentorship or tutoring?
Could you repeat that again?
Oh, of course.
I'm sorry.
Do you feel like, don't worry about it. Do you feel like your experience of, you know, having studied in the public education system helped you or made you take particular care in your tasks in Aliqua, or that did it impact what you did or mentoring, etc.?
It definitely did. It made me, like, I understood how the system worked and So every single time I had to do like an assignment with a student, let's first look for all the information there is, so that at least if we don't finish it, you at least have the information in order to continue the assignment and like help you be able to actually do it for yourself, you know, because we don't have that much time in the gua. Basically, we have like 1 hour and 30 minutes. That and time flies fast, really fast. So that was like my major priorities, because when you don't have access to a stable internet, or you don't know how to look for the information, because that is also some of the cases, they don't know how to look for the information. So my care was like get all the information you need and try to make you understand how we can continue on with the project without me being physically there.
Wow, that's actually a great answer. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. So do you feel like the gua in general has an impact on its target demographic? Do you feel like you've seen growth in the students that you've worked with?
Definitely. They, at the beginning, they come like a little bit like not any energy, they don't really want to do any work, but thanks to the way that the tutors in the gua, right, have the approach they take when to do the assignments, I've noticed that it's make the students like actually come energized, like, oh my god, we have to do this, we have to do that, and I also have to do this, so what should we start? And they're like actually motivated, because they know they're going to be able to do the work, and as it's a lot, it's like, okay, let's go, and it really helps seeing the motivation, and then knowing when they come really excited, because they tell me, oh my god, I got this in the quiz, or I got this in the exam, or I got this in the assignment. They get so happy because they have a good grade. And it's really one of the main reasons why working in the gua has been so precious to me, just seeing them being happy because they have a good grade from all the help that we have given them.
That's great. What classes do you normally tutor? Did you normally tutor in?
I normally tutored in science and math.
Okay, so connecting that to your previous question, do you feel like specifically in science and math, did you see an improvement of students throughout the year? Did the amount of knowledge they have about the classes surprise you in whichever direction, good or bad? And, you know, do you feel like there was growth specifically in learning in those areas?
Specifically in science, as I like to think, it's a fun subject. I at least can make the assignment fun for them. And I think it's a lot more easier for them to like understand, as it's like information that they can,
digest.
That they can digest, and it's not, it could be boring, but you try to make it not boring. Now in math, which is a lot more challenging subject, I've noticed that at least when the process of how to do the equation like clicks in their head, they automatically get it, and then they want to do more because they know what to do now. Because math, the thing with math is, if you don't know what you're doing, you get frustrated because, what am I supposed to do now? But at the moment that you like it clicks in your brain and you just know, oh, this is what I was supposed to do, well, that means you just know the process, because math is just process of elimination. And it has helped them in better grasp I want to do, and I have seen the improvement, at least in that subject, even though that's the more serious one.
Okay, that's great. And what do you think, do you feel like the students also grow emotionally throughout their time in the Kwa? Do you feel like having studied these things and going through the complex processes of, you know, getting to understand math and getting to have people that, you know, are dedicated to helping them and providing them with, you know, free tutoring and these services, do you think that that has helped them grow as people too?
I have seen that it has grown because we give them back their confidence in the subjects, right? And I think that that is one of the most important stuff that we do, just bring them back their confidence. Because when somebody's unmotivated and doesn't think they have the potential to do the work, they don't try because they already think they're a failure. But if we give them the confidence, like, no, you didn't understand the first time, don't worry. Most people don't understand stuff at the first time. But you just have to continue, and I'm going to be there as a source to help you better understand the material in order for you to gain that confidence. And when you're alone or when you're with your friends at the classroom, you know what you're doing. So you can better understand and actually have a better experience in the classroom.
Okay, that's great. Along those lines, do you feel like working in the Kwa has impacted the way you view the education system, or, you know, the education in general, how its value in society?
It has. It has shown me that we've heard this so many times, that education is important and is important, but it's the reason why it's important, because education is not just being smart. It actually shows you values and your morals, and it shapes the person. Because not everything is about, oh, did you know this about the cells? It's not only about that. Because education makes you, it tries to teach you how to be a better human being and how to be able to socialize and be in a group of people in a manner that everybody feels comfortable. So it's not only for you to just to gain knowledge, it's the whole experience of what it is to be a human being.
Wow, that's great insight. Okay, so in this process, you must have also seen that the certain specific challenges rise up, right? I would like to ask you about them. If you experience like challenges as a tutor working in the Kwa, and if you like saw challenges to also the movement of educational justice overall.
Some of the challenges I face in the Kwa has been, it's basically in the beginning when we're doing recruitment, when we're trying to bring all those kids with us, right? The process of recruiting them and talking to their parents, it's difficult when they don't want to cooperate. We're trying to do our best. We try to offer everything we can, the transportation, the food. But ultimately, if the parent doesn't want their kid to go for any reason, it really limits in what our goal is. And I think that is the most difficult part, trying to make them like continue coming to the Kwa, because it's not only recruiting them, it's also making them stay the whole semester. So I've learned a lot from that. But yeah, that is definitely the most difficult part in being the Kwa and trying to give the services of the Kwa. It's the retention.
Okay. So in terms of retention, are there specific What do you think are big factors that make retention such a difficult thing for the specific demographic of the club?
Well, for the specific demographic, one of the things that makes it difficult is if they don't have a solid group of friends participating also in the Gua, they're less likely to want to go. And also another part is that as we're basically with them until it's like night out, because now I know it's night out when they go back to their houses, it makes them not want to go, because then they know they have other stuff to do, that they're still at school, because we don't have the time to do everything in 1 hour and a half. It makes them like think, okay, no, I'm better off at my house doing it myself, when we all know that when you stay at your house, you're not actually going to do anything of school until like nighttime. And basically, and also the part where students don't want to come because they don't want to accept the help for whatever reason it is, right? Because there's multiple. And I think that it's a lot of factors. So us as an ex-tutor from the Qua, trying to pass through that path with them and trying to motivate them to stay, it takes a lot. It does take a lot, but we try to do our best.
Okay. And so what ways do you think working in the Gua has made you what ways do you think working in the Gua has made you see what I mean is, how has it made you see the public education system? What do you think about it, its effectiveness? What are the things that could be done to improve what it's been doing, how it's working right now?
Well, the public education system has always been flawed. And the fact that a program like this exists demonstrates that there are flaws in the system, and being able to help out the students in ways that the publication system of Puerto Rico, it's basically give them the tools to be able to, oh my God, I forgot the word I was going to use.
That's okay, you can take your time.
Basically to pass over the obstacle. That wasn't what I wanted to say, but it gives the same effect, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me a second. I wanted to say more, but I'm like, right now I'm blank.
That's okay. That's completely fine. You can take your time, and if you want to add it in later, we can, at the end of the interview, I will be asking you, like, if you want to add anything. So you can mention it then at any point, or if you just, that you remember suddenly, you could just be like, oh, this is what I wanted to say. Don't worry about it, is what I'm trying to say, really. Do you think that, what has working in Cuba made you feel about seeing the University of Puerto Rico as a place where these type of social justice initiatives can exist? Does it make you hopeful for them to grow? Or do you think there are like way too many challenges in the way right now in terms of funding, administration, etc.?
It makes me very hopeful because most students who are in the public system, they're not the majority in the UPR system. Most of the students that are from them They have to, they're mostly from the area. And having these social justice initiatives from the university and outside also, it helps to like try to make a happy medium between the disparities. And I have seen a lot of initiatives. The thing is that I've also noticed they're not really, they haven't actually pertained to, I think, the communities that need the most help. They just go to the same ones that have already received it. And most of it has to come, I think, because they also need the teachers, like they need teachers to approach them, or they approach teachers and they're not all from different schools, or the teachers don't actually like want to participate in the project. So it really limits on who is able to access these projects, because I know there's a lot. I've seen them from one of the, I had to research what were the social justice like projects that the university had. And when I saw them, I'm like, oh, I only remember participating in one, even though I'm from the area, you know? Lajas is very close to Mayagüez. And only being able to like participate in one, like in the past, we couldn't even go to university to open house. We didn't have the access to do that. I think now they've done, because they have trying to do like a bigger approach. They need students in the university. So now they've been going to every single high school. In the past, it just wasn't like that. So the only way we could know, I mean, I went to the university without having ever gone actually to the university. I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go there because it's my only option. I'm going to be honest. It's my only option. It's the closest one. And it's the one I can afford. So it's those types of things that shows me like, yes, I've seen the initiative. Yes, there's a lot of projects. I'm happy with what's been going on, but there's still a lot to improve.
Okay. Did you know of any other type of outreach initiatives or about the Quad Self before you started working there?
Yes, yes. I don't know their names. I know there's like Wheels on Science. I don't know their names. But yes, I've heard of some initiatives. I participated in one or like in two. One was a physics seminar. I'm going to say like it's a seminar. I'm not even sure what it was. And another one, oh yeah, I don't know the name, but one was like physics. It starts, oh, CREST. It's called CREST. If you want to like research the book. And another one was a chemistry one. I think that's like Wheels on Science. It's something like that, where we had to do like an investigation and try to grow some crystals. But those are at least the ones that I have complete knowledge of. I know now there's also Portico that my brother's a part in, so that's why I know why it exists. And yes, those are the ones that I knew without having to do the research.
Okay, that's great. Sorry, I'm trying to think of a question on the spot because we've deviated a little bit from the script. Well, not a little bit, quite a bit. So
sorry.
No. Like I said, that's part of this process. You don't have to apologize for it. I am glad that we're not, you know, going just like me asking random like a list of questions and you're just systematically answering. I'm just like taking a moment to think of the questions on the spot. So that's why sometimes I take a moment before. Yeah. So you mentioned that you knew about outreach initiatives specifically in the areas of like science, physics. Do you think that maybe can be complicated in terms of, as in, it, doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily a broad scope of possibilities what is being presented. If those are the main outreach initiatives that you could identify without, you know, having looking for them specifically. Do you think that there is a necessity for broader scope outreach initiatives, meaning that, you know, that focus on studies on social sciences or other natural sciences or humanities?
Most definitely. I think one of the main problems the university has, it's mainly they just focus on engineering and sciences, and only very specific sciences. And the thing is, they also have the College of Agricultural Sciences that now I know they now have some outreach programs. But in the past, like, I at least didn't know about it. And the university is not just science and engineering. Like, there is administración de empresa. There's also, right, the parts of humanities and arts. And you don't see them trying to advocate students to go to those programs. Their main focus is just to get students admitted in engineering, but mostly because most of the outreach programs are actually for engineering. They're not actually for the other sciences. But even though there's like a little bit, but the most is for engineering. So yes, I do think there is a disparity, and they should also be a focus, because not everything is just how we should invent this. We also need to see the why, the who is going to impact, and how is this going to progress in the future. Like, is it going to become a limitation, or is it going to further help the community?
I agree. Do you feel like the QA has incorporated that broader scope in its approach, in its outreach, in how it approaches students, and in the different activities it organizes?
It has, at least for the camps and La Sabatinas. the coordinators, que son la doctora Sandra y Jocelyn, they are professors from those departments. So they know, like, in first experience, what it is to not have a focus on those areas. And also, like, a good half or more of the tutors are also from those departments. So yes, they have pertained, like, not only is it just to teach you of what it is of the sciences and engineering, it's mostly just showing you what the university has to offer and what life has to offer.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you for shining a light on that. So do you feel like, I'm going into the latter portion of the questions at this point, we are nearing the end. So I want to ask you, do you feel like if you as a student had received aid from the QA, like helping from tutoring, etc., do you feel like you would have benefited from that?
Oh, I definitely would. One of the main reasons why I was able to pertain a good score in La Prueba Neta and also in the College Board is because I received tutoring from my local high school, right? My teacher would give us. Like, that is the reason why, one of the reasons why I could actually be able to go there, because when you're trying to study about very difficult topics, like it is precalculus, because that was one of the subjects I needed most help in. This is not something I can, like, ask help from my mother or my father, because these are not courses they ever took. So it mostly depended on me. And it's not something that I could just ask my mother, oh, can we like pay for a tutor to give me like some help in this? Or I couldn't even go to the internet to like figure out how I'm supposed to do it. Because in those times, I didn't even have internet, right? If I wanted to use it, I had to go then to my La Plaza and use the free internet that my town would give. So if I had the opportunity to like be in a space where there's a lot of students who are like actually actively in the subject, or they are studying, like those are their majors, that they know what they're trying to teach us. And not only that, like the lessons they give us, not only just for the material, also like, and what to do after high school would have really benefited me in choosing what major I would have gone. Because I started in pre-med, but then I changed to biology because I noticed that even though I wanted to, because I thought the only options I had as an occupation was to be what, a scientist and a doctor or an engineer. I didn't know there was a lot more other opportunities. And that's something that the quad, it gives, that you can't, like, there's a lot of professions in this world. We just don't have the knowledge about them. We just know the basics because that's what it's particularly shown in the media.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. So we're basically at the end of the interview. I just want to give you the space to, first of all, thank you so much for participating once again. I appreciate it a lot. And I wanted to give you the space to, you know, add any comments that you want to, if there's anything you would like to add, or, you know, any particular comment, anything really, floor is open if you want to say anything.
Okay. The Qua is such a very beautiful initiative that has been happening like for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful and happy that something like that exists, and that the initial professors who created the Qua like noticed there was a disparity in the enrollment of students from the public system, Mayagüez, and the private one. And because it makes the problem known. It makes the problem be something that can be funded. So the very existence of it, I'm very grateful for it. And how it has been occurring right now, it's such a beautiful experience. So anybody who would love to participate in something like that, I would highly encourage them to be in a outreach program that gives those type of services. You don't actually have to go to only in the Qua, because there's a lot more. And you truly do learn a lot. Not only you just grow personally and professionally, but you always take something with you. And those, I think, are the most vital parts of what it is to be a human being. It's just taking bits and pieces of what you do throughout your lifetime.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure interviewing you.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course, thank you. I'll let you go on with your day. Muchísimas gracias. I'm going to stop the recording now.